How desolate my life would be, how dark and drear my nights and days, if Jesus' face I did not see to brighten all earth's weary ways. I'm overshadowed by his mighty love, love eternal, changeless, pure, overshadowed by his mighty love. Rest is mine, serene, secure. He died to ransom me from sin. He lives to keep me day by day. I'm overshadowed by his mighty love, love that brightens all my way. Now judgment fears no more alarm. I dread not death nor Satan's power. The world for me has lost its charm. God's grace sustains me every hour. I'm overshadowed by his mighty love, love eternal, changeless, pure, overshadowed by his mighty love. Rest is mine, serene, secure. He died to ransom me from sin. He lives to keep me day by day. I'm overshadowed by his mighty love, love that brightens all my way.
Wonderful. All right, thank you, Mrs. Garner. I like someone when they sing. You may have to give me just a little bit more sound room, just a tad. I like somebody when they sing, they sing from the heart. And they sing with conviction. Mrs. Garner, when she sings from the heart and sings with conviction. And she projects out. And that's from the soul. And I like that. And that's the way we ought to live our Christian life. We ought to project. We ought to speak from the soul. And I'm happy that you're here this morning. I hope that you're happy you're in the house of God. Wouldn't it be great if the Lord just came back and we all just went to heaven straight from the church pew? Wouldn't that be great? I can't imagine it being any better than going to heaven from church. I don't know if that's going to happen for us when the Lord comes, and I don't know when He's coming. I'm just saying it sure would be great if we just all went up from the church pew. Can you see, just get right in a point and just say, "Thus saith God," and off we go. Wouldn't that be great? You say, preacher, are you looking forward to seeing Christ more than you can ever imagine? More than you can imagine. Take your Bible, if you would, Proverbs chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter 15. I'm going to read two verses. Proverbs chapter 5 and then Proverbs chapter number 15. All right, let's stand together. Proverbs 5:21, and then we're going to read Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 3. Proverbs 5 and verse number 21. The scripture says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he, God, pondereth all his goings." Now I want you to notice it said, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord." It kind of seems like the scripture is telling us that there's not anything you can do or a place you can go where God does not see what's going on in you. That's what it sounds like to me, right? All right, let's go back, if you would, to Proverbs 15. Go to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 3. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Kind of sounds again to me like Scripture is telling us there's not a thing we can do, not a place we can go. Nothing happens in our life that God is not aware of in our life. Several years ago, when I was in a dark hour of life, I sat down with a preacher friend and to get some counsel. And I don't remember a whole lot of what the preacher said, but I do remember the last thing that he told me. And that's what stuck in my mind. As I begin to rehearse some things, you ever just sit down and meditate on things that have happened in your life and just kind of think about things along the way and why and how you got to where you are? I remember this one particular instance in a dark hour of my life. As I was sitting there, the preacher, we talked, the preacher friend of mine, we talked, but I remember him saying the last thing. He said, "Brother Lassiter, God knows." He said, "Just remember, God knows." And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I just want to preach to you about God knows. He knows. Father, would you bless our time together this morning? Open our spirit to the preaching and teaching of your word. Father, we are very thankful that we're here today, and we do ask now that you would make our time profitable, and Spirit of God speak to every heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. There's a fancy word that accurately describes this attribute of God, where God knows everything. That fancy word is the word omniscient, which just simply means that God has complete knowledge of everything. God knows all things. Now, I think we would all agree that God could not be God if God did not know everything. Is everybody okay with that? All right, God couldn't be God if he didn't know everything. And the amazing thing about our wonderful God is this, and that is that he knows what has happened, which is the past. He knows what is happening in the present. And listen, and he knows what will happen in the future. You see, God can see all in present time because, listen, time and space does not confine our infinite God. God is not confined with time. God is not confined with space. So he knows what has happened, he knows what is happening, and he knows what will happen in the future. And because God, listen, this is so good, listen, because God knows everything, past, present, and what will happen in your life and my life in the future. Because he knows this, he can move and operate, now listen carefully, in my life in the present to produce in me positive results for the future. He can operate in your life and my life right now to produce positive effects for the cause of Christ in the future. Why? Because God's not bound by time. You see, God has limited and reserved this power, this omniscience, strictly for himself. No man has omniscient powers or abilities, even though some think they do. Okay? Man has not this power. You see, we must accept the truth, dear friend, that we only know in part, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we prophesy only in part. Why? Because all we know is what we have access to. We do not know some of the things that have happened. We do not know what is going to happen. So we can only speak in part. We can only prophesy in part. We only know in part. Why? We don't have all the facts. Nor can we see the future to determine what we must do in the present. But listen to me. God can. God knows. And God sees everything. You see, because God has this omniscient power and He can move in the present to produce positive results in the future, then you know what? Then the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15 automatically just comes to total light now, doesn't it? Because here's a boy that said, give me my heritage, give me my inheritance. The father gives it to him. He goes out and lives wildly. He lives, the scripture describes, in riotous living. But listen to me, God was able to move in the present life of that young man to bring about positive gains and effects in the future. You say, what did he do in his life? He had to bring him all the way to the hog pen, and then the Bible said he came to himself. And then when he came to himself, guess where he went back to? He went back to the Father. God was able to operate in the present life of that boy to bring about future and positive results. Can I say also to you, he was able to operate in the Apostle Paul's life in Acts chapter 9 on his way to Damascus to arrest believers, to have them cast into prison and some killed, and God struck him down in the road to Damascus. Listen to me, operating in the present, would everybody agree with me that there were future results, positive results from that particular meeting where God was able to deal with him in present time? See, he did that with the prodigal son. He did that with the Apostle Paul. If you'll remember, after God struck the Apostle Paul down at that particular time, he was blind for 3 days. Yeah, blind for 3 days. You know how they had to lead him around like a child because he couldn't see. You say, why? Because God was operating in present time because he had something in store for Paul for future results. Can I say something to you? God knows. Yeah, he knows. You see, the thing about it is most of us would have written the prodigal son off. Amen. Right? See, but the thing about it is you don't know the future. You don't know what the facts are. You don't know where they are right now. But can I say to you, God knows. You say, but preacher, they're eating by the pig slot for now. But that doesn't mean they're going to be eating there 10 years from now. You see, God knows. You see, in that dark hour, as I was facing all of these situations, and I thought, Lord God, why? I don't remember anything else that the pastor friend said. He just said, preacher, God knows. God knows all the results. He already knew all this was going to happen before it ever happened. May I say, too, that nobody escapes the all-seeing eye of God. God created you, listen now, and equipped you exactly the way He wanted you to be. Some of us need to accept that. Okay, you need to accept how God created you and accept the fact this is how God made you. This is what you are. This is why God designed you exactly like He designed you. He gave you the features that He wanted you to have. He gave you the spirit that He wanted you to have. He gave you the temperament that He wanted you to have. Now, we may take those things that God equipped us with and use them unwisely to fool men. But listen, we're not going to fool God. You know why? Because God knows. He knows. According to the scripture, His eye is going to and fro across the entire earth. And you know what? He's beholding the good and the evil. You know, man thinks that he can run from God and go hide in a dark room somewhere and do something in dark and think God doesn't see it. Isn't that crazy? And yet, the Bible is very plain. There's nothing that we do that God is not aware of. Take your Bible, go to John chapter 2, if you would, please. John chapter 2. We're going to look at several places of Scripture this morning for the message. John chapter 2 and verse number 23. John 2 and verse number 23. All right, the scripture says, now when he was in Jerusalem, Jesus, at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Now listen to this. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Did everybody see that? He knew all men. Look at verse 25. And needed not that any should testify of man. Listen to this. For he knew what was. Not only did he know all men, for he knew what was in man. So God knows. He knows everything. And because he knows all men, and because he knows what is in men, how foolish are we to think that we can fool God or hide anything from him? Think about that just a minute. Think how foolish that we are sometimes. Thinking that we can say something, do something that God is not aware of. God is aware of everything. Listen, folks, I don't have time to go there, but you know the scripture says that not even a bird falls from the sky that God's not aware of it? And listen, let me go a little step further. Now, this applies to some, doesn't apply to everybody. You say, well, it does. What is that? Even the hairs of your head are numbered. And it don't take God for some. He don't have to count past 10 or 12. You say, but it's there. It's just undeveloped. Now, all I'm saying is, you know what? That's why. That's how much God knows. He even knows the amount of hair on your head, that a bird doesn't fall from the sky, that he's not aware of it. Hey, I'm just here to tell you, God knows. He knows. We've got to understand that. Now, with that said, go to Matthew chapter 9. I want to say, first of all, God knows your thoughts. Let me say that again. I said, God knows your thoughts. Matthew chapter 9. Okay, Matthew chapter 9. Are you there with me? Matthew chapter 9, look if you would in verse number 1. And he, Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said, where? They didn't say it out loud. Where did they say it? Within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Now, they didn't say it verbally, but they thought it, and they said, you know what? This person is a blasphemer. Look at verse number 4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Now listen, you can find also in Luke 6, Luke 9, and Luke chapter 11, a very similar passage where someone thought something and Jesus knew what they were thinking. Can I say this to you this morning? If we serve the same God of yesterday, today, and forever, look around you. Can I say to you this morning, God knows what you're thinking this morning as well? Everybody in this room, God knows exactly what's going on up in that little cranium of ours. He knows what thoughts that we're thinking this morning. I just simply want to ask you this morning, what are you thinking? You ever done something and somebody came to you and said, what are you thinking? Most of us don't. But I want to ask you this morning, what are you thinking? Because God, listen to me, God knows what you think about Jesus. You're not going to hide it from him. He knows what you think about Jesus Christ. Remember Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 13? Remember there Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And may I also remind you in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 42, Jesus also asked the question, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? I just want to tell you, the Lord knows what you think about Jesus this morning. Yeah, he knows. He knows what you think about his son and whether you accept him as Savior or not. Whether you're putting your total faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ or you believe it's Jesus plus something or Jesus minus something. No, he knows exactly what you think about Jesus this morning. You say, well, what does God think about him? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. That's what God thinks about him.
And yeah, I say, he knows what you think about him also. He knows whether or not that we and accept him. He knows what we think about his person. Because you know, there might be some that are struggling accepting who Jesus is. That he is the Son of God. There is no other, folks. There is only one way of salvation, and it's through Jesus Christ. He knows what you're thinking about Jesus this morning. May I say this? He also knows whether you're even thinking about Jesus this morning. See, some of us here right now, you know what we got on our mind? We got on our mind, boy, let's see. What's on TV? What's on Fox 4 Sports today? Oh, yeah, the Rangers are playing a little bit later on. Boy. And listen, our minds are as far from Jesus as they can possibly be in some cases. Hey, he knows what we're thinking. He knows whether we're thinking about his son this morning. May I say also to you, he also knows your thoughts and what you're thinking about Jesus, whether you accept his person, listen, or whether you accept his salvation or not. Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, he said, but by me. You know what that means? That means only one way of salvation, and it's through Jesus Christ. Not through the church, not through baptism, not through any kind of works that we have done. Why? Because we'd boast about it, according to Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9. If salvation was left up to us, we'd go around to each other telling us how great things we've done. He said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, he knows what you're thinking this morning about Jesus. Whether you love his son, whether you acknowledge his son this morning, he also knows what you're thinking about salvation. He also knows whether or not you have accepted that salvation this morning. Hey, God knows whether or not you believe. May I say also that not only does he know what you think about the person of Jesus, not only does he know what you think about the salvation of Jesus, can I say this to you tomorrow, believer? He also knows what you think about his will and call on your life. You know why so many believers are dissatisfied? They're dissatisfied because they don't like, first of all, how God made them. Secondly, they're dissatisfied because they don't like what God's will is for their life, because it's not something that they wanted. It's not something that God conversed with them and said, well, what do you think? And see, that's what we want people to do. We want people to do that, and then we expect God's going to do that. Folks, can I say, he doesn't have to confer with any of us about anything if he so does not choose. We've got to accept his will for our life. See, there's some young people in this auditorium today that God has called you and separated you unto a ministry, and you don't like it. And so therefore you've backed away, you've pulled away from his will. Hey, I'm just saying, he knows what you think. He knows what you're thinking this morning. He knows what you think about his son. He knows what you think about Jesus the person, Jesus and his salvation. He also knows what you're thinking about Jesus and his call and will for your life. He knows that. He knows what you're thinking this morning about Jesus Christ, his son, the only begotten son, the only one to whom one can come and be saved. Hey, can I say this morning what Jesus said to his disciples? What think ye of Christ? Or to the Pharisees, what think ye of Christ? You say, well, wait a minute. Wait. He already knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you're thinking about Jesus. May I say to you, number two, he knows what you're thinking about his word right now. He knows what you're thinking about the word of God. Now, folks, listen. What I hold in my hand, the word of God in the King James Bible, I believe without any question in my soul that it is the inspired, inerrant, preserved word of God for the English-speaking world today. In 2011, not in 1611. It's good enough from 1611 to 2011 and forever. Hey, he knows what we think about his word. Listen, all you got to do is go to the bookstore. Amen. Well, this is going to get good. Y'all hold on. Now, let me say, he knows what men think about his word. Because you go to the bookstore and you say, yes, I'm looking for a Bible. And the first thing they ask you is, which one? And then the next thing that comes out of the mouth of a person that's a new believer, well, I thought there was only one. Isn't there only one word of God? Well, see, man's messed with it. And so now what's happened is we've got 200 or 150, 200 plus versions of what God said. Now, you know who mixed all this up? God didn't mix it up. Hey, can I say this morning, He knows what everybody here is thinking about this book right now. And some of you are thinking, I don't accept it, and He knows it. He knows it. He knows whether you accept the book or not. He knows whether you accept His Word or not. You say, well, how does He know whether I accept His Word or not? Preacher, by the way we serve. Yeah, by the way we serve. He knows what we're thinking about His Word by the way we serve and whether we truly believe it and, listen to me, how we apply it to our life. Yeah, He knows whether we believe the Word of God or not. Based on how we serve, based on how we apply it, based on whether we obey its commands. Do you know this book right here? What I hold in my hand, the Word of God is here to help you, not hurt you. You see, we've got military men and women all over the world that have had to go through basic training and had to go through training to do what they're doing. You know, what if they got to basic training and the drill sergeant came up there and he began to give orders and began to tell this and that. And here you have an 18-year-old saying, you know, I don't think you know what you're talking about. I want somebody else. Get out of here. I want somebody else. Because I don't think you know what you're talking about. And then you have another drill sergeant come and guess what he says, Brother Swinton? Exact same thing the previous one. And then the 18-year-old says, I don't think you know what you're talking about. I want somebody else. Do you understand that's what's happened to the Word of God? Because then what happened? We get version after what? You know why? Because I don't think you know what you're talking about. I don't think you know what you're talking about. And next thing you know, you've got thousands and thousands of people confused on what the Word of God is. Now listen, best I can tell that God is not the author of... Okay, that means there's only one other person it can be. Come on, talk to me now. Only one other person that can be the author of confusion. So why is he picking on God's Word? Because we are so susceptible to confusion. We're so susceptible to the newest thing on the market that that's what we go after. Hey, I'm just saying to you, you know what? God knows what you think about Jesus. He knows what you think about His Word. Oh, back up just a minute. He knows what you think about the church. Because some of you are sitting here thinking this morning, possibly, I hope you're not, but you may possibly be thinking, you know what, that preacher's nuts. This church is nuts. Okay. That's what they thought about Jesus too. They thought He was nuts. Go check me out. Matter of fact, they called Him a blasphemer. Yeah, they thought He was casting out by the power of the devil. But you know who the people were that were thinking that? Lost people. People that didn't have the Spirit of God in them. That's who thought that the preacher's nuts, the church is nuts, and what you're doing, you're crazy. Amen. Boy, isn't this good? I'm just saying to you, you know what? God knows. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking about Jesus. He knows what you're thinking about His Word. Hey, He knows what you're thinking about His church. When you go to Ephesians chapter 5, listen, the Scripture says that we're to love the church because Christ died for the church. He loves the church. You know, I learned a very simple truth in my Christian life. It's very simple. Here it is. Hate what God hates. Love what God loves. And you know what? You'll be fine. You say, what does God hate? Sin. What does God love? People. The church. The Word. He loves Jesus because He said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You say, well, preacher, how do you know what people are thinking about the church? And, well, first of all, it's evident by their attendance and support of it. Yeah, He knows. See, folks, listen to me. People all through Jesus' ministry gave Him lip service. Right? They gave Him lip service. Talk, lip service all the time. But listen, when the rubber came and when the rubber met the road and when things got going down the right channel and stuff, You know what a bunch of them did? Because they were all lip service. It's evident what we believe and what we think about the church by our attendance, by our support, by our service. Listen, oh, this is going to be bad. How we treat the property. Amen. Yeah, how we treat the property of God. Whether we stick gum under God's pew. Or whether we bring soft drinks in and spill them and say, well, guess the maintenance will clean it up. No, you just spilled it on God's carpet. You clean it up. Amen. Say, preacher, I didn't know I was coming to Sunday morning to get this guy. I thought I was going to get tickled behind the ear. Well, you can come tonight and I'll think about it. Hey, folks, the thing is, you know what? I'm just trying to pray. God knows. You're not going to escape. He knows what you're thinking about His Son. He knows what you're thinking about the Word. He knows what you think about the church. You say, preacher, do you get upset when you see people misuse and abuse the property of God? Yes, I do. You know what? I don't understand how a person can say that they love the church and they'll walk across a parking lot and they'll take something out of their pocket, a piece of candy, and they'll put it in their mouth and take the wrapper and go. And just keep walking. Or they've got a cup of something they're drinking, and when they get done, they'll just leave it sitting there. Amen. Hey, God knows what you think. Yeah, He knows what we think. It's evident. He knows what we think about Jesus. He knows what we think about His Word. He knows what we think about His church. Hey, can I say to you this morning, He knows what you think about your neighbor. He knows what you're thinking about your neighbor while you're sitting in this pew this morning. He knows what you're thinking about somebody. And I'm not talking about your next door neighbor when you go home, though He knows what you're thinking about them also. He knows what you're thinking about their little dog. You say, well, preacher, are you thinking bad thoughts about your neighbor's dog? Yeah, because it don't have a soul. So I don't think I'm going to come into accountability for that. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready. I hunt and fish. I'm starting to get prepared. You know, August, you start gearing up for hunting season. My 5-year-old granddaughter, I was out the other day. I got a gift card to Bass Pro. And I went out there and I was picking some stuff up. And I thought, man, I hadn't bought one of these. CDs or DVDs in a while, these hunting DVDs. I'm going to pick one of those up. And I picked one of those up, and I was getting in mode, Brother Fiesler. I watched 30-something hunts the other night. Man, I'm telling you, once I got up, and listen, my 5-year-old granddaughter went to my wife. She said, Nanny, she said, I think Poppy's getting ready to hunt. She said, why? She said, because he's in there watching them shoot them deer. Hey, I'm getting pumped up about it. But you know, God knows what I'm thinking about my neighbor, about people I go to church with, about people I live next door to. I think somewhere in Scripture, I believe it's Matthew chapter 22, verse number 39, the Scripture says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Yeah, as thyself. Hey, He knows whether we love them or hate them. He knows whether we're jealous, envious, angry. He knows if I'm not right. He will not hear my prayers if I harbor iniquity in my heart. He will not. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 23. Okay, quickly, turn to Proverbs 23. The next two will go quick. Okay, Proverbs chapter 23. Okay, you're there, Proverbs 23 and verse number 7. You'll recognize it once you get there. The Scripture says, for as he thinketh in his heart. Did you see that? For as he thinketh in his heart. Stop. Does God know what we think? Then He knows what we're thinking in our heart. He says, as a man, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, we don't have time to go to the Sermon on the Mount. But you know, Jesus nailed it down tough, man. Tough. He said, it hath been said in old time. And He went through a list of things. And you know, go check me out. Some of them, He said, This is what it said in old time, but I say unto thee. Some of it had to do with sight. Some of it had to do with just thinking about it. Why? Because God knows what we're thinking this morning. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Let me give you the second real quick. Okay, Mark chapter 12. I said, first of all, God knows what knows your thoughts. May I say to you, number two, God knows your motives. God knows your motives. Mark chapter 12. Mark 12. All right, are you there? Mark chapter 12 and verse number 13. And they send unto him, Jesus, certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. You ever had anybody try to catch you in your words? And when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man. For thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? Listen to this. But he, Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And he goes on to tell them, yes, you are to pay your taxes. Amen. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto God that which is God. You see, Jesus knew their motives. By the way, what was their motive when they came and asked him the question? They were going to try to catch him in his words. So they had a wrong motive. And you know what? Jesus already knew it. He already knew what their motive was behind what they were saying. That then explains to us and helps us understand this. It helps us to understand that God knows your motives and he knows why you say what you say. You ever had anybody, you say something, somebody came to you and said, what'd you say that for? God already knows why you said what you said. Can I say this to you this morning? Do you know some people say some things because they're hurt? That ordinarily they wouldn't say in a regular conversation. They say something because they've been wounded in spirit or they've been hurt. Can I say this to you? God knows. Can I also say to you that people act foolish and do some things that are believers because they've been hurt? Can I say to you? God knows. Yeah, God knows. He knows why we say what we say. He knows why we go where we go. He knows why we serve like we serve. Because he knows our motives. He knows our reason or our cause for action. He knows that. You see, God knows whether our motive is for the Savior or for self. He knows whether our motive is for God or personal gain. He knows whether our motive is of love or of lust. And he knows whether our motive is for help or to hurt. He knows what our motive is. I'm just simply asking, when you come to church, what was your motive this morning? Did you come because someone, you just wanted to be seen by someone so that you could say, I was in church? Was that your motive? Or did you come this morning? Was your motive? Did you come because you love Jesus Christ? Did you come this morning because your motive was to worship the Almighty, Omniscient, Omnipotent, Omnipresent God? Was that your motive? Was your motive this morning to come with an open spirit so that you could get something from the Word of God that you could take home and chew on all afternoon? Any of you ever eat beef jerky? You don't take a chaw beef jerky and swallow it whole unless you want to go to the emergency room. You know what you do? You take a piece of that beef jerky, you bite that off, and you know what you sit there doing? You got to break that rascal down. And it's good stuff. Matter of fact, if some of you want some, I got some deer jerky at home if you want some. Hey, man, I got plenty of it. Say, how many deer you got in your freezer? A lot. You can have some if you want some. But you know what? You're going to have to chew on that beef jerky. You're going to have to break it down. And may I say to you, was your motive this morning to come get some of the Word of God so that you could go home and chew on it and break it down a little bit? So that you could digest it? So that you could do something productive for God? I hope that you did. Let me just say number three and I'm done. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I said, first of all, God knows. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you think about Jesus. He knows what you think about His Word. He knows what you think about the church. He knows what you think about your neighbor. But God also knows your motive. Why are you serving? Why are you here? Why is your membership here? Why did you visit this morning? He knows. He knows. Now, may I say to you, number 3, are you there? John chapter 6 and verse number 1. John 6 and verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Look at verse 5. And when Jesus lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now listen, folks, we're not talking about a handful of people here. We're talking about thousands of people came, and He looked at Peter and says, let's go ahead and feed these folks. We need to go ahead and feed them. They're hungry. Philip, let's go ahead and feed them. He said, well, why in the world would He do that? Look at verse 6. And this He, Jesus, said to prove Him, Philip, for He Himself, Jesus, knew what He, Philip, would do. Here's number 3. I said that God knows your thoughts. I said number 2, God knows your motives. May I say number 3, God knows your future? Yeah, He knows your future. And the wonderful thing about Him knowing everything and knowing my future is He can, since He knows my future, He can come and deal in my life in the present. Because He knows what's happening in the future. Hey, because I'm a child of God, you know God can bless me in the present because He knows what's in the future. For the child of God, you see, God knows who you are. Psalm chapter 103, verse 14 says, He remembers that you are but dust of the ground. He knows who you are, that you're but dust. He does. Listen, is God expecting absolute perfection from you? Well, if He is, we're in trouble. No, He's not expecting perfection. You know what He's expecting from you and I? He's expecting worship. He's expecting service. He's expecting consecration. He's expecting dedication. He's expecting commitment. He's not expecting perfection. Why? He knows who you are. Number 2, He knows what you are. Remember in John chapter 2, remember I said a while ago that when we read just a second ago that He knew all men and He knew what was in man? Hey, He knows what you are. He knows what's going on in your heart right now. He knows the hurts that you feel in your heart right now. He knows the disappointments that you feel in your heart right now. Can I say to you, like the old preacher told me, God knows. You say, but nobody else knows. They don't have to know as long as God knows. They don't have to know, but God does know. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God knows who you are. He knows what you are. He knows what you've been through. He knows everything about your life. But may I say, He also knows where you're going. Now let me say something here. God wants everybody to be saved because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But can I say to you today, He does know who's going to heaven and who's not. Now wait a minute, wait. You say, what? I didn't say He already predetermined who was going to heaven and who was not. I said He already knows who's going and who's not, but the choice is ours. Why? Because He knows. And you know what He's going to do? Till the day you die or until Jesus comes back, He's going to give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to come to the Savior. Yeah, every opportunity possible. Because He knows who you are. He knows what you are. He knows where you're going. Hey, God knows what you'll do today with this message. He'll know what you'll do today, with this service today, because this might be the last service for some. He knows what you're going to do at the invitation before you even get up out of your pew. He already knows what you're going to do. He knows what you'll do with Jesus. He knows what you're going to do with His Word. He knows what you're going to do with His will. You see, God knows. He knows your decision about salvation. He knows your decision about discipleship. He knows your decision about your love for God. Why? Because He knows your thoughts. He knows your motives. He knows your future. That pretty much boils it down. God knows everything. Your thoughts, your motives, your future. Now the thing about it is, you can come this morning and determine where you're going to spend eternity. Why? Because it's open. It's open to all who will come unto Him. You say, well, how do I know? How can I come? Just believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died on the cross, rose again the third day, and that you and I have been placed under the curse of sin without hope in this world, and that the only way to have any hope is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and coming and embracing the grace of God this morning and putting all of your faith and trust in Him. Let me put a little PS on here, because if you don't, God knows what's going to happen this afternoon and before you make it to the next service again, you don't. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say, preacher, I'm a born-again believer. No question about it. I've been saved. I know it. I'm not ashamed of it. Slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I am a born-again believer. I have trusted and put my faith in Christ. No question about it. If the rapture came or if death came, I'm heaven-bound. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I ask You to bless this invitation time. Let it be a special time. Let it be a time of dedication. Let it be a time of consecration. But, Lord, let it be a time of salvation for some. And, Lord, would You move in such an incredible way in our hearts this morning that it would be evident that the Spirit of God has been in this place. I ask You, Lord God, through the power of the Holy Ghost of God, that You would open hearts, open spirits to Your truth this morning. That, Father, whatever the need is, that the altar would draw them. That the altar would draw us this morning to make decisions that are right for the cause of Christ. Bless now this invitation time, I pray. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe there might be one or two here this morning that would say, preacher, I must be honest. I cannot honestly say that heaven is my home. I want to go, but I have some doubt about it. And you'd let me pray for you. No one's looking but me. And you say, preacher, that's me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. You say, preacher, I don't know for sure that if I died, I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? God bless you. You can put your hand down. Who will join this? Who will join these two? Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I want to go. I don't know for sure. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Anybody will join these two? God bless you. There's a third. Anybody will join these three? All right, then maybe you're here this morning. You've already been saved. You say, preacher, I've already had a born-again experience with Christ, but you've never been baptized after you got saved. And you know it's the right thing to do, and it must be done the Bible way. You say, preacher, I've never done that. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray for me? I need to take care of business like that for God. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I've already accepted the Lord, never been baptized after I got saved. Anybody like that? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Anybody? And I'll pray for you. Anybody like that? God bless you. All right? Then one last thing. How many today would say, preacher, this has really provoked me to think about my thought life. This has really provoked me to think about my motives. That God is aware of everything. How many this morning say, preacher, what was preached, what the Scripture said this morning has really opened my heart up to this truth that God is an almighty God, that God is an omniscient God, and He knows everything I think. He knows my motives. He knows my future. He knows what I'm going to do when I leave this service today. He said, that's really opened this truth up to me and really excited my heart about serving God better. How many would say, preacher, that's happened to me. Won't you slip your hand way up high? Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Say, preacher, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, the invitation is Yours. We commit it into Thine hands that, Lord, You'd save those that need to be saved. Lord, there are some here this morning, God knows. They know that You know in their heart that they haven't experienced a born-again relationship with Christ. Please don't let them leave today without knowing Christ as Savior. Some know that in their heart that they're not right with God. Some know, Lord, that they're living a lifestyle that is not conducive to Christianity, that is not conducive to a walk with God. You know. You know our thoughts. You know our motives. And You certainly know our future. I don't want anyone to die and go to hell, Lord. And so I pray this morning, convict, move in a great way. I don't want any Christian, Lord, to face You that's not right. I want them to be right. And I pray that this morning would be evidence of their heart's desire. Would you move in a special way in Jesus' name? And with heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask our instruments to begin to play. I'm going to ask Brother Ingram to begin to sing. Whatever your need is, you come. You come. Some of you raised your hand and say, "Preacher, I need to be saved." That you've never had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. Would you come this morning? Would you come this morning? Come on, we'll have someone talk to you. We'll have someone talk to you. You come. Whatever your need is, you come. If you're a lady, we'll have one of these ladies talk to you. If you're a man and you need someone to pray with you, come on. Come on. Come on. Whatever your need is. Whatever your need is. Some come, had some come, you come. Whatever your need is, God, hey, the invitation's wide open. God knows. He knows what your need is. He knows what your hurts are. Would you come this morning and lay them at the altar? You say, "Preacher, there's just something going on in my heart. I feel like in the past I've been burned." Well, that happens from time to time. But can I say, God knows. He knows. Won't you come and just let go of that? Just come and let go of that to the Lord, because He can restore you and revitalize your walk with God.